When my daughter Laura was little, we wanted to have a dog. And we were trying to talk my husband into this idea of having a dog. So we did everything on a dog theme basis. We watched the Beethoven movies. And for my daughter's birthday, we had a dog birthday. And actually, I think one of you was there. And this dog birthday, I went to months of work. I sewed dog ears for every child. Everyone was different. Headbands with felt dog ears with different spots. I made dog bowls, which I wrote each child's name on, and I filled with dog biscuit-shaped cookies and balls and whistles. And when the big day came, everything was set, and we played relays and races and sort of dog-themed games. And I thought everything went great. I had a wonderful time. All the moms stayed, and we talked, and the children seemed to be having fun. A couple of years later, we watched the video of this birthday party. And I realized that throughout most of the party, my daughter was tugging on my sleeve, saying, "Mommy, Mommy." She just wanted my attention. She wanted to tell me, I found out last night, that she had won the Dog Olympics. Sometimes that's how we celebrate Christmas. We get so wrapped up in all of the trappings of Christmas and all the fun and all the games and all the people that we forget really what it's about. Galatians 4, which is our passage this morning, tells us what Christmas is really all about. The bulletin says it's on page 189, but it's actually 178 in your pew Bibles. Christmas is not just about the birth of Jesus. It's about being adopted as joint heirs with Jesus. Let's read. What I'm saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he's no different from a slave. Although he owns the whole estate, he is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, "Abba, Father." So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And since you are a child, God has made you also an heir. The early church, the early Christian church, was not a different religion. It was part of Judaism. It was considered just one of the many Jewish sects that worshiped in a different way and had believed that the Messiah had come. However, God led Peter and Paul to share the good news of Jesus Christ's salvation with Gentiles. The Messiah had been sent to bring a blessing to all the world, not just the Jews. Paul taught that salvation was open to all human beings by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, the Jewish believers had a little trouble with this, including everyone. Christianity seemed way too easy. What about a lifetime of commitment to the scriptures and to law? Paul and Peter taught that the Gentile converts didn't need to follow all the rules of the Old Testament, and they didn't keep kosher. And they weren't circumcised. They didn't act like good Jews at all. This caused quite a stir in the churches of Galatia. Paul wrote the letter to the Galatians to combat this problem. And by the time we get to our passage today, chapter 4, Paul's using an illustration from Roman life to explain what had changed now that they were adopted into the family of God. Keeping the laws of the Old Testament was not the way to salvation. Salvation was a free gift through faith alone. There was nothing extra one needed to do to earn it. The Roman law of adoption in verse 1 says, "What I'm saying is that as long as heirs are underage, or minors, it says, I think, in your Pew Bible, they're no different from slaves. Although they own the whole estate, they're subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by their fathers." Roman law provided for several different kinds of adoption. But all children were adopted by their own father. The father had the choice of rejecting his children. I know some of our teenagers might get a little fearful saying that, but a father could sell his own child into slavery. So the father in the family often was left looking for a suitable heir. If there was no son, it was pretty much always boys they adopted, I'm sorry to say. And that heir that they were looking for, perhaps they might have been only had daughters or had no children. And if they were a powerful person, they needed to pass on to an heir their estate and their power and their position, their political position. So a son in a family, the oldest son, or this person who was to be adopted, they held a sacred ceremony. Now, when a boy got to be a certain age, they were adopted into the family. And I just saw the movie the other night, Emperor's Club. And if you remember, if you've ever seen that movie, in the Emperor's Club, the teacher gives each boy a toga, a white toga. Because the children in the Roman Empire, the sons wore white togas with blue. When you were grown up, you got a white toga. Roman law, when someone was adopted, when you found a suitable heir, if you didn't have a suitable heir, allowed Augustus Caesar to become who he was. He was actually born Gaius Octavius Thurinius, but his uncle adopted him. And when you were adopted in the Roman law, you got a new name, a new title, a new family, and your debts were all canceled. So some people, if they had fallen from favor or didn't have enough, would want to be adopted into another family. This kind of adoption was generally only for adults. Verse 3 said, "So also when we were underage, or minors, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world." Well, what is that? What are elementary spiritual forces? If you look at the word in Greek, it sounds like the word for stoichiometry. I don't know if we have anybody in chemistry here, but stoichiometry is the elements that make up a chemical reaction. So the elementary spiritual forces are the basic things of the world. For us, the basic things of the world might be anything that keeps us away from true worship of God, true understanding of religion. For the Jews, it was the law. They couldn't accept grace without doing everything that was in the law. They couldn't understand that. For the Greeks and the Romans, it might have been the movements of the sun and stars or other things that I don't really understand, but things that kept them away from understanding the true grace of Jesus Christ. These pagan ideas, interestingly enough, are some of the things that birthed Christmas. Christmas was actually a pagan holiday. But once we turned it into a Christian holiday, it should have been a good thing. But unfortunately, sometimes it's a distraction, and we turn it back into a pagan holiday with all the other things, maybe no dog ears, but other things that distract us from the true meaning of Christmas, which is what it means to us to be born with Jesus Christ, to be joint heirs. He's the firstborn. We are the adopted children into the family of God. Shelley's song of having our Father's eyes brings up a really neat point. If you look at the following verse, verse 9, the Spirit inspires believers to remind them that they're calling as God's children, that they can call out Abba, which is the Aramaic word for Papa, a special intimacy with God. It says, verse 6 actually, because you are sons or children, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out Abba, Father. When we're adopted, when you're adopted in a normal family, you don't begin to look like the family. You might begin to act like them. But when we're adopted into God's family, we actually get the Spirit of God's Son, Jesus, in our lives, which begins to make us resemble Jesus Christ. We start to get His eyes. We start to be able to see things that we wouldn't have noticed before. The Spirit of God transforms us. That's what Paul was trying to tell the people who wanted to follow laws and regulations. You know, they were worried that if the Christians didn't have all those rules and regulations in the Old Testament to follow, they would be immoral. They wouldn't do the right thing. Paul was saying, we don't need those laws anymore. Those were great when you were children. I don't know about your kids. My kids had lots of rules. We had numbers of rules, and sometimes I would post the rules just as a reminder. Not that anyone ever followed the rules, but we had lots of rules. It didn't actually make anybody behave. What made them behave was if they wanted to behave. And what makes us become more like Jesus isn't the rules. It's God's Spirit in our heart. Roman adoption required, it was a legal proceeding. You just didn't do it on your own. And it required a witness. Scripture, what Paul's telling us here is the Holy Spirit is the witness to our adoption. Because you are His sons and daughters, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, who cries out, Abba, Father. I like the part that says we can cry out. Like my daughter, who was so excited, crying out, Mommy, Mommy. Sometimes we want to cry out, help, or just in excitement. The Anderson family reunion is held most every summer. And every year, we have a huge baby shower for all the great-grandchildren that are born into the family. And everyone buys baby presents. This past summer, we had an amazing baby shower because we had three sons who were adopted, and they weren't babies. They were so excited to get their gifts. You know, babies don't appreciate their gifts. Jesus probably didn't realize he was getting gold and frankincense and myrrh. We can read it later and appreciate it. But these boys, Max, Misha, and Vitali, had been in a Ukrainian orphanage. They were taken from their parents because they had been so badly abused, and I'm not going to go into that. But they had been taken from their parents and put into a government orphanage because of the way that they had been brought up and treated. They had been living there for a long time, hoping to be adopted. Meanwhile, my husband's niece and nephew, her husband, had been looking to adopt children. They had gone on a short-term mission trip to the Ukraine. Be careful if you go on a short-term mission trip, because God might change your heart. They had seen these children in the orphanage, and they really wanted to bring someone home. So they spent years, and they spent lots and lots of money. And then they finally were able to go last Christmas, exactly last Christmas. And they went and they brought home Max, Misha, and Vitaly. When they got their presents, they were so excited just to have something in their hand. If it was a sock, they were full of glee. They had never owned anything. Not even their clothes were their own. They had never had a toy. They had never had anything. What would it be like if we appreciated everything, if we realized what our adoption had cost, if we really knew that? I wanted to read just a little bit out of an email from Max, Misha, and Vitaly's dad from late April last year, after they'd been here just 4 months. They couldn't speak any English yet, or very, very little. Over and over, I am struck by how deep the parallelism of adoption and Christianity runs. One of the deep issues that many adopted children struggle with is, will I be sent back? Vitaly, that's the older one, he's probably about 8 or 9. He recently asked, when were they going back to the Detsky Dom, or the children's home? His father didn't know how to tell him, so he went online on a translator tool, and he found out how to say, and it actually read it out for him. It said, you are never, never, never going back to the children's home. Mama and Papa are your parents, and they love you, and you're going to live with them forever. Vitaly smiled the biggest ear-to-ear grin when he heard this. Later, Misha was with me and was talking about the orphanage. So Steve typed in the same note. And he said, I wish you could have seen Misha running around to Max and saying, we're never, never, only it's in a Ukrainian. I won't try to say Ukrainian. We're never, never, never going back to the children's home. And for several days, they would tell each other, and they would make him type it in so they could hear in Ukrainian, we're never, never, never going to go back. The people, the believers in Galatia, wanted to go back for some reason. They wanted to go back to following rules, to depending on their salvation from something other than Jesus Christ. Here's the conclusion of the letter, and I think it's kind of the point. I so wish you could experience the adoption story of the gospel of Jesus Christ through the same experiences we have had this last couple of years. The preparing of a place, the redemption price, the leaving the secure sheep, their three daughters, and going out to search for the lost sheep, rejoicing when one has been redeemed, and the yearning for others who are lost. And now, knowing how far is the east from the west. Psalms 103 says, as far as the east is from the west, he has removed our transgressions from us. It is by adoption that we never, ever have to go back. Paul says in his letters to another church, the church in Ephesus, chapter 1, verse 4, he chose us before the creation of the world. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship and daughtership, according to his pleasure and will. Just like Max, Misha, and Vitaly bring joy to everyone who sees their eyes light up, turning a light switch on and off makes them so happy. In him we have redemption through Jesus, his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. That's the real gift of Christmas. The fact that because Jesus came, it's not because we can have, you know, a really nice time at Christmas. It's not about getting time off. I heard whole radio shows all about Christmas, and they never once mentioned Jesus Christ. It was all about the traditions of different families. Live like you've been adopted, like you get it. Live like it's Christmas all year long, especially at Christmas time. The true meaning of Christmas is not peace on earth, necessarily just peace on earth, but peace in our hearts. It's not just getting together with family, but being brought into God's family forever. It's not about having friends, but about caring for those who don't have any. And it's about being able to cry out to the King of our hearts, Abba, Abba, and know somebody hears us. The true meaning of Christmas is about growing more and more to be like God and growing to have eyes like Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord, you sent us the greatest gift, your own Son. In the fullness of time, when everything was right, you prepared a place in the world, in your kingdom, not just for him, but for us, your adopted sons and daughters. Created in your image, Lord, help us now to be able to grow and see with your eyes. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.